Amen. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied to a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." This is a wonderful, wonderful story, and you've heard it many times. It's told here in Matthew. It's repeated again in Mark, Luke, and John. It's a wonderful story. Palm Sunday is the day that kicks off Passion Week. Passion Week is called Passion Week because at the end of the week, Jesus dies on the cross. He is buried, but all on that day, on the third day, he arose from the grave victorious. And this is inaugurating that day. Now it's Palm Sunday, right? And a lot of churches wave palms, and palm branches are not native to Ohio. So I was thinking about a road trip to Florida. Who's with me? Okay, all right, amen. I almost got applause out of that one. I got some big amens on that one. We have to go get some palm branches. But at any rate, we can get so familiar with the text, and we can see what's going on, and we can get the facts straight that we miss the point of the passage. And I think the point of this passage is very apropos to us today. There are two other scriptures that I need to bring in to keep fresh in our mind to help us understand this and know what we're talking about. The first one is John chapter 4 and verse 23. Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and he's having this conversation. I taught on that. And she's talking about worshiping in the mountain and in the Jews in the temple and etc. And Jesus says, "Listen, you're missing the point." Jesus says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now listen to this. "For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." How many believe the Bible says what it means and means what it says? According to that scripture, God is seeking true worshipers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. You hear a lot today about people talking about, "Oh, I want to please my Heavenly Father." Are you worshiping in spirit and in truth? That's what He's seeking. As a matter of fact, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." That literally means that you and I were created to worship God. God doesn't need me to preach. It is a privilege and a blessing for me to be able to preach. I'm not blessing God by preaching. We got the roles all mixed up in our very narcissistic society that we live in. It's not about me. It's not about you. You were created for worship, and the Father is seeking true worshipers. Now that leads us to three questions real quickly. They'll be on the screen. Number one, do you worship the Lord? Number two, why do you worship the Lord? And number three, how do you worship the Lord? And you're wondering, okay, great, but how does this tie into our text? I'm glad you asked that. John gives us a little hint of why the crowd was there. If you have had a chance and an opportunity to study, if you can read John's account of this, the people were following him because he had raised Lazarus from the dead. So the wow factor,
They're following Jesus because of this wow factor. And they are following Him because of His mighty works and what He had done. So they're there. And they want this King, Jesus, to come and deliver them. Hosanna means save now. They want them to deliver them from Roman oppression and make them the royal people they should be. In other words, they only want Jesus for what they can get from Him. So, Jesus says, listen, this is what I want you to do, disciples. I want you to go over here in the next town, and you're going to find a donkey and a colt that no one's ever sat upon, and I want you to bring it. And by the way, if the owner of the colt and donkey says, what are you doing? You tell him the Lord has need of it. Right? I mean, you go down to, go over to Glockner's and try that. You know what I'm saying? I thought about it, but I'm just going to. They're going to say, man, you're crazy. But so they go over, and just as Jesus said, there's the colt. They find the colt, they find the donkey, and they get it, and they bring it over, and then they put their coats upon it, and they put Jesus upon the donkey. And the donkey rides from the Mount of Olives. It's up on a hill. There's a descent across the valley, and there he goes up to Jerusalem. So he goes down that descent, and as he goes down, the people are praising him. They're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, a messianic title. Even though they don't believe that he's the Messiah. So they shout out to the messianic title, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Psalm 118. They're shouting the praise, and finally, this man is coming to deliver them and make them the people they have always wanted to be and should be. But Jesus has a totally different focus, a totally different will than what they want. Now I'm going to leave it right here, and I want to go tell you the rest of the story. From here, Jesus goes into the temple. And he sees the money changers. This is at the time of the feast. There's another feast. There's a lot of people there. Josephus said, on any one given feast, there may be as many as 250,000 sacrifices taking place in Jerusalem. Josephus, not a spiritual guy. He's a Jewish historian. Interestingly enough, all these people are here. Jesus comes into the temple, and there again he sees the money changers. This is the second recorded time that he runs them out. Runs the money changers out, overturns the tables. Luke records that as he's going, he tells one of the Pharisees, shouts out, tell your people to stop. And Jesus said, I can't. If I tell them to stop, even the rocks will cry out. There's a theme developing here. There's a theme developing. From there, Jesus goes in to the temple, and he does that, and then he begins to heal all these people. And in verse 15, I'll read for you. It's not on the slide, but I'll read it to you. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children were in the temple, the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. The religious crowd were indignant. They looked at him and said, tell these kids to keep their mouths quiet. What are these saying? Do you hear these children? What are they saying? In verse 16, Jesus says, yes, have you not read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, have you perfected praise? Praise. The first question I ask you, as we must ask this crowd, as we must ask everyone, is, do you worship the Lord? Do you worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Worship means to attribute worth. It means that the object, what you're focusing on, you give worth to that object. Just like the woman at the well, she says, well, you know, we worship up here in the mountain, and you Jews worship in the temple. And Jesus said, worship is not a place. It's a person. Some people only worship, even if they only worship on Sunday. How many times have we come to church and we sat there and nothing moves us? The reading of the Scripture, the testimonies, and the singing of the hymns and the songs, and nothing moves us because we're so enamored with ourself and everything going on outside. And what we want, we never take time to attribute worth to our Lord and Savior. But yet, Jesus said, the Father is looking for people like that. Looking for people like that. Worship is not confined to Shawnee Hills Baptist Church. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm going down the road, and I'll be honest with you, there's no reason to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but it don't stop me. Can I get an amen? I'll be going down the road, man, and a song come on, I'll be hallelujah, squealing like a cat, raising my hand, and people driving by looking at me thinking I'm... I don't care. Because worship is not confined to a place. Worship is not just for you that can sing and are good. I don't mean this to be condescending to anybody or anything like that, but you all know there used to be a man who would come to this church, and he'd have biscuits and gravy all over his clothes, and his hair wouldn't be combed. And he'd get up here and he'd sing, Victory in Jesus. Out of tune, no pitch, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, you music people. But you know what? He had more than any of us had. He had a heart and a desire to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I've often been at like Amy's mom and dad's church in Huntington. It's a rather large church, and they have a deaf ministry. And I sit over there, and I don't know about you all, but I'm like ADD, and I'm not making fun of it. I'm telling you the straight up truth. Ask my wife. I'm like squirrel, you know? And in church, you're doing all this sign language. And what are you going to do? I'm looking to figure out what's going on. And I was during the worship service one time, they were singing, and there was a group of them going like this. And I thought, I wondered in heaven if that makes a beautiful noise. I never thought about that. I was just thinking. I'm like, I bet you it makes a beautiful noise in heaven. You see, the Father is seeking, and worship is not confined to this place. Worship is the supreme activity. Guess what you're going to do all throughout eternity? Worship. Hey, let's just take for just a moment. Anyone that saw the risen Christ, think about John on the Isle of Patmos. He's banished out there, and he sees the Lord. And you know what happens to him? He said he felt his feet as though he were dead. And this is casual world we live in that's so full of people that are so self-centered and care nothing about the Lord, they almost act like Jesus owes them something. Trust me, we don't want what we deserve. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
Come on. I ask you the question. Do you worship the Lord Jesus Christ? C.S. Lewis said, I think it was him, and hopefully I don't quote it wrongly, but he said this. I used to think that, and I'm quoting loosely, I used to think that worship was a very arrogant, egotistical thing of a God to require. He said, and then until one day I learned and understood that it was during worship Him that He reveals who He is in His presence to me. Guys, we don't need more superheroes. We don't need more politicians. We need more of Jesus. Listen to me. It's impossible for you, it's impossible for me to be running someone down and praising Jesus at the same time. It's impossible for us to be running down our house and the blessings that Jesus has given us and be praising Him and be thankful for it at the same time. Can't. It's impossible. Do you worship the Lord? Secondly, why do we worship? Why do we worship? Well, obviously, I've already told you, we were created to worship. We were created to worship. Listen to me. Think about this. Easter Sunday, all of creation testifies of the resurrection. Amen. Those lilies start to open up. That grass begins to bloom. And we all can't wait to cut grass until about May 30th. And we're like, Lord, you know, slow the grass down. We can't be happy, can we? We can't be satisfied. But all the dogwoods start to bloom and all the flowers start budding out and everybody's sneezing and coughing and resurrection, baby. Resurrection. Jesus said, I can't tell them to stop. If I tell them to stop, the rocks will cry out. I don't think he was speaking metaphorically. I think he was holding creation intact, just like he did when he held the winds back. The Father is looking not for the most talented. The Father is looking not for the one that's got it all together. The Father is looking for the one who's genuinely seeking Him in worship. That's what He wants. You see, God reveals Himself to us. When you begin to study and you begin to see the Scriptures and you begin to see all that God is and all that He does, you can't even scratch the surface of the knowledge of God. But we do it because we love Him, and He begins to reveal His attributes to us. And then that attribute, it lets me know something about God that helps me maybe 2 years down the road, 10 years down the road. I watched a video a long time ago. How many of you have heard of the Skit Guys? The Skit Guys, they were really good. They used to do, I think they still do. But they had one in particular that was good, and I should have got it and showed you on here. It was awesome. It was these guys talking, and he said, you know, we went to this country, and in this third world country, these people were crazy. He said they painted their faces, and they danced around, and he said they worshipped this inanimate object, and he said they were almost moved by it. If, he said, in parts they would be great, they would greatly praise, and then parts they would be greatly sad over this inanimate object. And he said, you're not getting it, are you? And then it switches over, and it shows a football stadium and a guy with his face painted. And it shows people weeping at the football game or the basketball game when they've lost a game that amounts to nothing. I was talking to another girl this week. She's playing college softball. And I said, how's it going? She says, I hate it. She said, I'm only finishing this year because I committed to it and I'm done. Hate it. That's three I've talked to this year that hate it. Let me ask you a question. Are you pushing your kids to do that because you want them to do it, or they want to do it? See, we can worship all these inanimate objects that mean nothing to us, but when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't get a holy grunt out of some people. If I can say a holy grunt. That was a holy grunt. Best I know how to do a holy grunt. This is the supreme activity. What happens when we worship? Worship resets our attitudes. It resets our actions. It resets our focus. You know, when you're over there and you're teaching Awana and your teacher don't show up and you got all these kids screaming and you're thinking, Calgon, take me away. But before you get there, you're thinking, if I could get my hands around the neck of my helper. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Maybe it would do us good to start taking and visiting the hospital. We start complaining about serving the Lord and we don't have time and everything. Let's go visit the cancer ward, people who would love to be serving the Lord. Let's take a walk down the pediatric ward at Children's Hospital with me. It changed our perspective. Changed our attitude. Changed our focus. You know, you know where the camp is. It's right on 140. And why everybody has to advertise their beer bottles and McDonald's out in my yard, I don't know. But I have to carry a bag on a lawnmower or a bucket to get off to pick it up. And I complain all the time, but you know what? It really no big deal, is it? They'll fill this ditch. They'll run up down through here, throw them beer cans out, and they'll fill up the ditch. And I come over and pick them up, and I quit throwing away in my trash can in the church, in my office, because I was afraid somebody would see a beer can and think, well, preacher's having a beer on us. Getting ready for communion. No. So I throw them up here, so you find them up here. But they'll throw them out in the ditch. And get complaining because I have to pick it up, and, you know, can't believe these people do that. What do you expect? They're sinners, man. You see, when we don't worship the Lord, we take everything and take it in ourselves. Everything becomes about us, what we like, what we dislike. And we have this perspective that you and everyone else is here to satisfy me. And we're not. We're not. We're here to make disciples of Jesus Christ. to teach people how to worship. How do we worship? How do we worship? That's the next question we go to. Well, I think, first of all, we must worship Him for who He is, not just what we can get from Him. Let me illustrate to you. The very same people that are shouting Hosanna at the beginning of the week are the same people at the end of the week shouting Crucify Him. So their Hosanna and their praises and their Son of David was not real. It was only praising so they could get something from Him. Their hearts were not changed. They were not convinced that He was the Messiah. They wanted something for them. But we come to worship Him for who He is. You got some guy trying to be cool who's my age, and he's got, you know, dressed like a teenager gone bad. And he's up on the stage and he's talking like this, and he's, "Yo, JC," you know. I'm thinking, what is your problem? He's Jesus. He's not JC. At the very name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's who He is. We sang that song, "You're a good, good Father." It's who you are. It's who you are. There are many people in here probably who never had the experience of having a good father. And your life is messed up because of it. But if you just knew the Heavenly Father and knew His love and His forgiveness and His great mercy, it would change you drastically. We must worship Him for who He is, not what we can get from Him. Because you know what? There have been a lot of prayers I've prayed and God hasn't given me what I asked for. And I look back and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Thank you that you didn't do that. Number two, we must worship Him with passion, not just ritualistically. It's interesting. This word spirit, when we talk about all true worshipers will worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's pneuma. It's the same word that's translated in other places as Holy Spirit. But this one is not deified. This one's not used in that way. Remember I told you 100 times, in the English language, one word can mean several different things. For instance, trunk, right? Trunk can be the snout on an elephant. It can be the compartment in the back of your car. It could be a suitcase kind of thing in your bedroom. It could be a lot of different things. Now, if I say put the clothes in the trunk, you're not going to stuff clothes up an elephant's nose if you're with it, you know what I'm saying? No, you're not going to do that. How do we know what we're talking about? By the way it's used. It's not, in many of your Bibles you'll see, it's not capitalized for deification to make instant that it is the Holy Spirit. In its usage, it means with energy, with passion. You know, guys, you're standing up here with your wife and the preacher man's saying, and he asks the wife, he says, "Will you love and honor and till death do you part?" And she says, "Well, I reckon. I don't know what, no one else going to." I mean, if you got any sense about you, you're just like, "Woman, what's wrong with you? I ain't going to marry you." That's how we do Him. That's how we do the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How many times do we eat, "Dear Lord"? I say the same prayer ever, over and over and over. Man, I got the biscuit in my mouth before I say amen. Who's with me now? Yeah. Don't leave me out here on the limb by myself. Thank you, Brian, me and you. We're going to Tutors afterwards. My point is, there's no passion in what we do. Same people go to a football game or go to a basketball game and run and act crazy and shout and scream and snort and slobber and do all that stuff. And in church, they're like, "File, you know, whatever. Facebook." Bored.
Yeah.
Bored to death. Bored to death. And by the way, between Daryl and Dude calling me on church times, I'm going to excommunicate them. I love you guys, but I'm praying for you. See, I made a comment Wednesday night I was teaching. And someone calls me in the middle of the church. And this dude sitting back there. Like, what, you know, I can hear my phone back here going. Brr, brr, brr. So I mention it. And now, I didn't even look. I just knew it was one of the Simonas. It has to be one of those two. When I went to turn on the microphone, I saw the, because the microphone goes through the phone. And so they call me. And I have no idea why I said that. But at any rate, they need prayer. Passion. Passion. Man, we can be so passionate about things. You know what I mean? So passionate about things. I tell you, we can have, I'll just tell myself, I love to fish. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm not taking pictures. The whole point of me fishing is to get away from people. Fish don't talk. And I go out there on the water, and the sun is coming up because it doesn't bother me to get up early. We went to the Trout Derby one year, and we met in Jackson at like, or no, we met in Memphis at like 3:30 in the morning. And we were the first boat in. And didn't catch a cotton picking thing, but we were the first ones in there. But it doesn't bother me to get up real early to do something I want to do. But next week, man, it's going to be difficult because it's Easter Sunday and we're having a sunrise service. And that Sunday's the day I sleep in. Don't challenge God. He'll give you all the sleep you want. Just saying. But we can get up and have a passion about doing something like that. Right. No need to leave, Harry. I love you, brother. I wasn't picking on fishing. I'm teasing. But anyways, my point is, we're passionate about the things we want to do. And we can get up and do it. We can stay late, up late. I love to go to bed early. You know, my dad taught me when I was growing up, nothing good ever happens after midnight. And so I the ball drops. I'm gone, brother. I don't see. I'll catch it next year, man. I just don't want to. But you know what? There's instances when I'm doing something I want to do that I don't mind to stay up a little later. But when's the last time I stayed up real late on my knees praying for somebody that needed to come to faith in Jesus Christ? When's the last time I stayed up and worshiped the Heavenly Father? I turned off Swamp People. I mean, it's the only good thing on TV anymore, you know what I'm talking about? Who's with me? Don't leave me out there. All right, thank you. Brian? Maybe Brian, we're on the same page today, brother. My point is, we can be passionate about anything. Jesus said true worshipers worship with a passion. With a passion. Is God important to you? Yeah. I mean, is God important to you? I mean, is He really your life? Does everything revolve around your relationship with Him? Or are you kind of like me? You know, you'll journal for a week and, man, you'll be on fire reading through the Bible and, man, you're doing all this stuff and then, boop, you hit the valley and you're like, I don't want to do it. You know why we do that? The reason we do that is because we have no worship life. We try to maintain a devotional life without a devotion to the Lord. We try to do things in the flesh that can only be accomplished in the Spirit. And we learn to worship the Lord. You know, when I was exposed to worship, my dad was teaching, and he was teaching me on this, and he challenged the class that I was in as a young fella, and he said this, let me challenge you this week, 10 minutes a day, alone, without distraction, and don't ask God for anything. Just talk to God for 10 minutes, and don't ask Him for anything. Just praise Him. And man, 3 minutes into it, I was like, what do I say now? It showed how shallow I was in my knowledge of God. So then I had to start finding the Scriptures and finding attributes about God. And then I had to learn some things about God that blew my mind. You know why? Because He's God. He's God. Are you ritualistic in your worship? Are you passionate? Are you passionate about Jesus? And then, lastly, we must worship Him continually. Same people. Hosanna, save now! Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. 1 week later, crucify, crucify, crucify. Crucify, crucify, crucify. We're up and down, up and down, and up and down. But none of these facts change the one true fact that God is seeking true, genuine worshipers that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. What I find interesting about this also is these people, even though they were shouting Hosanna and all this, they weren't worshiping Him in spirit or in truth. Now, they were passionate about Israel. They were passionate about what they wanted, but they were not passionate about Him. And they were not truthful about Him. They didn't believe Him to be the real Messiah. They would have submitted to Him. You see, what you believe about Jesus determines how you respond to Him. If you believe that He is just a genie that you can call on and ask for something whenever you need it and then put Him out of your life when you don't need Him, then you will treat Him that way. But if you believe that He is the sovereign God revealed in flesh to us, that He is God in the flesh, that He is the Lord, our Lord and Savior, then that's a different meaning. Then you have no problem bowing the knee. You have no problem submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. These people did because they didn't submit to Him. And I would conclude this on Palm Sunday by saying this last sentence. I would like to ask you to read, well, you don't have to read it out loud, but I'd like to ask you to read it. Go to the next one, last one here. The same people who are shouting Hosanna at the beginning of the week were the same people shouting Crucify Him at the end of the week. They were not true worshipers. And every Sunday, every Palm Sunday across the land, churches gather together and kids line the aisles and they get palm branches and they wave palm branches and they reenact that. And the same people that are reenacting it are not true worshipers. My question to you is, it's not about the palm branches. It's not about the writing at Fulfilled Prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. It's not about any of that. It's about worshiping the one true God. And that question is this: do you genuinely worship Him? If not, I encourage you today to repent. Repent. You will never be sorry. Would you bow with me for prayer, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, we ask you to bless this invitation. It is yours. We get out of the way. Do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I would ask you this. If you, number one, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would invite you to come. Someone will meet you and take the Scriptures and share with you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Listen, if you are not saved and you're not willing to step up and step out in faith and trust Him and come and learn what the Scripture says, then I can't help you. You may be here and you may be saved, but your worship life might be lagging, and it's okay. Christians are the only ones that are too proud to admit they're wrong and get help. Christians are the only group of people that do that. But let me tell you, the people who appreciate grace the most are those who need it. Why don't you take this opportunity and worship our Heavenly Father? Would you stand with me? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the invitation is open.